Your Tangible Assets Advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. If you've been listening to the radio for a long, radio show for quite a while, you've probably heard us say that a number of times. Maybe I should change all my catchphrases there or whatever you want to call them, but I realize you can get numb to it and you just get like, yeah, we know, get going, do the show. But I'm telling you, folks, this, I am so really sincerely, deeply, honestly concerned and convicted about our current economic situation. There's so much going on. There's been so much going on since Trump kind of started his race, since the race began in 15 or whatever. We have been diverted and distracted, deceived, and you know, it's diversion is a very common tactic. When I watch politics and I watch like Nancy Pelosi, I mean, these people are masters at deception and manipulation, okay? And so like Nancy's recent stunt, I mean, just horrendous stuff. So they're having, and I know you know all about it, but they're having their, you know, impeachment inquiry. And the bottom line is, it's a farce. It's not real. It's not an impeachment hearing. It really is a huge campaign, period. It's a huge campaign. It's to get money into their campaign. Pathetic? Oh, yeah. Scary, terrifying. We folks, just so you know, now I know there's alarmists and all this, and you'll be like, yeah, you know, Kevin, in a year, I heard a guy that I just was like, you know, but I was listening to Sean Hannity on Patriot, XM Patriot 125, and Sean's obviously good, or Fox News would not pay him $50 million a year, I just learned last week. Sean Hannity, just from Fox, gets $50 million a year. Gee, that's, I think, more. That might put him in the top 1%. I mean, sometimes he, you know, it's just crazy. But, you know, if he draws it in, I guess he draws it in. But anyway, that is neither here nor there. But I heard him talking the other day, and he was basically, you know, going over, as he always does, all of this stuff that's been going down, and literally had verified statements, verified people saying this is sincerely the greatest constitutional crisis in the history of our country. It's a constitutional crisis. It's interesting because that is the terminology they were using repeatedly under the Obama administration. And it would just get brushed under the rug. And, I mean, the partisanship and the implantation of, you know, their own people from the left, the socialists, they're everywhere. I mean, you get Trump in office and we're just up in arms, up in arms, up in arms. Obama, yeah. Conservatives, very disappointed. I was very dissatisfied. But, you know, I start out with, I'm going to let him be my president. People say, well, Trump's offensive. Well, listen, Obama was really offensive. You didn't build that, right? That is not the name of the game in this, even as a believer in this world, that is not the name of the game. God gives you the ability. He gives you the opportunity and you make it happen. I mean, we have free will. Free will. You've got to remember that in everything. We're not puppets. So when we say, I'm going to let God take care of everything, well, no, what you're really going to do is yield to God's will. You know, it whether it's sharing with other people, getting a job, choosing a church, you know, whatever you want to rely on God to help you with, what you do is, Lord, please guide me, please show me. And then what happens is, He indwells you with His Spirit, gives you wisdom, direction, and then you physically follow, okay? So if you go through events. People have done impossible things. You know, they've come off of heroin and they've, you know, created these incredible ministries. And they'll tell you, and I'll tell you, when I started my business back in the 90s, this officially business, I guess you call it, that's not a very good statement. But when I officially left the bank and went into this, it was like so covered in prayer that I always told people, it was so much God's will that it was like riding an escalator. But I was doing the actions and the works because God was preparing the way for me. And that's, I'm just saying, that's got to be our approach. We've got, you know, this weekend I was talking to a gal who I had an appointment, and she just had, it was the most divine appointment ever. She was having all these struggles in her life, which I was most familiar with, and with kids and grandkids and different things. It was just like that and other things. And I've had God put me in situations where, you know, my wife has rheumatoid arthritis, and has since she was young. And I've had situations where God's put me, you know, a guy calls at night when I'm working or something, and I happen to pick up the phone, or on a weekend, and all of a sudden I'm talking to a guy who's, you know, going through my story 20 years ago, you know, and he's a believer, and all of a sudden we're talking, and it's like, this is so divinely appointed. I never would have answered the phone. Or I've had a situation last week and a couple weeks or a week before where, you know, I just happened to get out of my desk and stumble out to the showroom, didn't remember why or what for, and there's someone there that basically needed some help or counsel or whatever. So to simplify what I'm saying there before I move on to my points for the show, it is critical to be on call 24/7 for the Holy Spirit. Do not, okay, there are different types of churches. I am all aware of this. There's churches that are very works-oriented, that tell you you can lose your salvation. I'll tell you what, folks, when Jesus Christ was beaten to really, I think, the greatest beating any man could have ever taken because of his purity and spiritual strength, beaten beyond probably, well, beyond recognition, and then hung on a tree to die, you know, and I mean, you got to remember, they don't just starve, and you think of the dehydration over days of torture and beating and no sleep and no food and dehydration. And I'm sorry to say it, but literally you're naked carrying your cross through crowds, up roads. Everybody's watching. People are yelling at you, spitting on you. Roman soldiers are whacking you and beating you and pushing you down and absolutely fatiguing you while your body is a shredded ribbon of blood, and then laying you on a rough piece of wood, pounding huge nails through your wrists and your feet, and then hanging you up and making you push up on your feet to catch every single breath because you're hanging down and out. Maybe gruesome, folks, I'm sorry, but this is what our Savior did for us, and He was the perfect atonement. He was perfect. Perfect. He was a God-man, okay? Some people can't comprehend that. You don't need to. It was the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and I'm not a Catholic, and we aren't going to worship Mary. We're going to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord. But when He pays that price and says, it is finished, and the sky turns dark for days, and the veil is ripped. I don't know if you know how thick that veil was. It was a special a weaving process. It wasn't just a side-to-side weaving. It was an in-and-out weaving. It was a depth weaving. They say that that veil was probably 8 or 10 inches thick. Unterrible. That is why God, you know what that veil was, folks? The veil was the Titanic of veils, the Titanic of drapery. And they intentionally made it so no one could tear it or even cut through it. Well, I guess when you do that, God goes, let me show you something. And He tore that veil in half. And that veil was there to separate the Holy of Holies from men. Okay? So these men are priests that they had to go in with a rope around their ankle and a bell. Why? Because if they had sin in their life, they would drop dead in the Holy of Holies while they were offering the atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ dies. God tears the veil from top to bottom. A massive feat. It's unbelievably high. It's like 120 feet tall. Just beyond ridiculous. Astronomically realigned stars. There's Egyptian references to it. There is Chinese references in astronomy to the birth of Jesus, and about 33 years later, roughly, his death, burial, and resurrection. I mean, they didn't know that was going on, but their early astronomical records, the Tibetan and Mongolian astronomical records, and also, I understand, some of the Aztec clocks or whatever they call them, calendars have a marking of, you know, this major consumption of the sun for a couple days. I don't know all that, but I do know that when Jesus Christ made that great permanent sacrifice, and I know I took a long way to get here, it's not something that sounds to me like you go in and out of. It's not something that like, oh, I'm really good today. Oh, gosh, I'm saved. Tomorrow, oh, dang it, I drove. You know, so it's like, well, if my salvation depends on me, what would I do? I think I'm going to go live in the mountains. I'm going to get away from people because people tempt me. Can't drive. Pretty much got to leave everybody behind, right? And still I'm going to sin, but man, I'll be a lot less because there's no one there to tempt me. And, you know, I mean, that's do you think Jesus created that system and thinks that way? So if you're in a church where you contend with once saved, always saved, and I'll tell you, I went through a period of time where I've been to a number of churches for a while trying to figure out doctrinal stuff. I've seen it. I can tell you, the more legalistic a church, the less grace they offer. Okay? And think about this. You know, you can get all complex. We can have all these theological debates and discussion. But I'll tell you the bottom line. You know, we read Scripture. We read Paul and James and Isaiah and all this. But when Jesus speaks, everyone listens. I hope. Okay? When Jesus says that he's died once for all, you know, or he says the ultimate on the judgmentalistic churches is this. Jesus, you know, he was getting thrown all these curveballs by Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were all wanting to tie him up. I love the scripture. He healed everyone in the town or city, and so they conspired to kill him. What was that? I mean, seriously, if a guy came through Spokane and he just had this, you know, I mean, it'd be global news. This guy comes through Spokane, claims to be the Messiah, and everywhere he passes, it's like a swath, and everyone gets healed. Would you be going, we got to kill that guy? Well, we might. You know why? They did the same thing we might do. He can't be the Messiah. He doesn't fit our timing and our placement, and he doesn't look like the Messiah. The Messiah is supposed to come back as a conquering king. We got to get rid of this guy. It's a demon. And they accused him of that. And he's like, I love it. They're like, you're casting out demons by Beelzebub. You're filled with Beelzebub. Beelzebub is the devil. It's Lucifer. And he's like, that's when he goes, really? This is my translation. But he's like, really? Okay. So how do I benefit, if I'm Beelzebub, by dividing my own house? He says, that's when he says, a house divided will fall. Then you know what he says next? A nation divided will fall. Do you know any nations that are divided right now? I'm sure there's been a few, you know, plenty in history that have gotten pretty vitriolic. But we're being divided by absolute deception. And I did not intend to go off on this. I actually have purpose to my show. But I'm telling you, I watched Nancy Pelosi saying things to Trump like, well, Mr. Trump, You know, he's like, tell the truth. And she's like, well, Mr. Trump, you're welcome to come and testify before our committee and tell all the truth you want. Okay? First of all, he is the president of the United States of America. When they tell you, oh, you know, his witnesses are refusing to testify before our little, you know, I feel like going our little child's vomit committee. Excuse me, but I say that because I respect the Constitution. Do you know what they're doing has nothing to do with Constitution, nothing to do with impeachment. It's an absolute affront to this nation. And Adam Schiff, who's leading these impeachment hearings, has said, you know, the outcome of this inquiry will change. And he's the most pompous, arrogant, you know. He says, it will not only change the future of this presidency, but it will also change the future of other presidencies or the future of presidencies. And the answer is, you are absolutely right, Adam Schiff, because you are using the most harsh, powerful, potent, literal. You remember when we used to hear the nuclear option? Mitch McConnell is going to prove the nuclear option, which means 51%. You know, this impeachment, that's the real nuclear option. They will not quit. They will not quit. They will not quit. They're, you know, here's the other one I like. She goes, oh, the stuff that Trump did makes what Nixon did look minor, you know. And so guess what? Nixon resigned before the official impeachment hearings occurred. Okay? Why? Because he was guilty as guilty gets, or guilty as heck, whatever that means. Very guilty. Donald Trump is so not guilty, folks. I want you to just know, watching this stuff for decades, being involved in the legal system growing up, I promise you, by the way, this system, my mother owned a very large court reporting firm in Montana, and she's got probably the greatest vocabulary I've ever seen, and the knowledge of the court system her whole life. She's very a classy, elite, in a good way, professional. They just don't make them that way anymore. These proceedings are driving her batty because she knows that everything that's occurring is absolutely, completely, and totally unacceptable in a trial. So what they're doing, they're going to run this impeachment. This is my theory. They're going to run this impeachment, quote, inquiry as long as they can to just smear Trump. Then they'll pull it because they can't let it go to the Senate. I mean, a long time ago, I got a text that said, let him, you know, let him impeach him. Because once it goes to the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans, they will be able to bring in any witnesses they want. They're going to be able to reveal all the Hunter Biden stuff and everything. Well, the left, folks, this, I am so sorry to be reporting this. This is an, it's all based on deception and maneuvering. And it, and this country has been just polluted with corruption. And guess where that corruption truly comes from? Is attorneys. We have 50% of our legislators are attorneys. Every single one of the leaders of our system are attorneys. You go down the list, the attorneys rise to the top. Why? Because they are the dirtiest, most manipulative. They know how to break the law legally. I guess they know how to stretch the law, bend the law, move around it, deceive you with the law, abuse the law. We have lost, in just a quick little piece of history on the, when our founding fathers wrote up the Constitution and created this system, you may not know this, their entire goal was to eliminate, completely eliminate the need for attorneys. You hear me there? That was their number one desire. And I will see if I can find, let's see, I'm going to look this up because I may, well, I won't spend much time on it. Federalist, okay. Paper, okay. I'm going to check because there's a Federalist paper and I typed it in wrong. Number 70, Federalist 70, perhaps, is, I don't have time to read it, called for an executive council. Hamilton defended a single executive, far more safe, blah, blah, blah. Two or more persons, okay, let's see here. There can be no need, however, and I'm jumping ahead in this Federalist Paper 70, however, to multiply arguments or examples on this head with attorneys, let's see, a feeble executive legal defense, and he goes on and on. So I'm going to give you the layman's condensation of Federalist 60. Here's what he's saying. Not only do we need, but we will create a system that doesn't require attorneys. We will put a man in front of a judge or a jury. He will pick. And he will be able to speak to what they call a jury of his peers. Then, and they've manipulated that system to death. To death, to death, to death. They call attorneys in the Federalist Papers 70, they call them consuls. C-O-N-S-U-L-S. And it just is over and over and over and over. The Roman history records many instances of mischiefs to the Republic from the dissension between consuls, attorneys, and between military tribunes, which is power, who were at times substituted for consuls. Can you imagine that? But it gives us no specimens of any peculiar advantages derived to the state, that's our country, from the circumstance of the plurality of those magistrates, that the dissensions between them were not more frequent or more fatal as a matter of astonishment until we advert to the singular position in which the Republic is almost continually placed and fairly represented to the prudent policy, as they go on and on, described by the circumstances of the state for the citizen in and of himself and pursued by the consuls only outside of the court. So they're saying, okay, they can, if they want an attorney, they can have him outside the court. And it goes on. It's definitive. They did not want any more attorneys. So here's what happens. 1804. A very wealthy man, Scathian, I think is his name, which may be the root of the word scathing. Let's see here. I'm jumping around. Anyway, I won't get into it. It's scathing, bitterly severe, blah, blah, blah. So here's the deal. Scathian was accused of a heinous murder, rape, and murder. Very wealthy man. 1804. Goes to court. Brings in this absolute magical performance artist of an attorney. The attorney goes into one of the great magistrates in the city of New York, and he entertains the court, and he's got people laughing, and he absolutely captures the entire corridor, and he, long story short, gets this obviously guilty murderer off. Now is the time they decide the wealthy can buy freedom in this new system because they can argue better. Our founders were outraged. They were appealing the equivalency of today's socialist propaganda Democrats. Oh, this is fair. This is good. Why? We can corrupt and we can manipulate and we can use technically racketeering. We can bring money out of the system. Jump forward. Now, not only are we abusing our system to the nth degree with attorneys, folks, we are using massive, massive manipulation. What do you think if you settle comfortably in the Holy Spirit and you just go from a point of a settled perception and you look at things like people like Elizabeth Warren running for president of the United States. Now she is at a point, folks. Now, I want you to understand this. Our current deficit sits at roughly $23 trillion. Our overall unfunded liability debt is over $200 trillion. Okay? Elizabeth Warren has the new Green Deal. The left has gone on a battle. Who's got the biggest new Green Deal? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who said last week, the point of this trial is to stop something terrible happening in the next election, a.k.a. Donald Trump being elected. Somehow these people are going back. There's no good candidates. That's why Nancy Pelosi went haywire, getting these people, you know, just creating this farce. But Elizabeth Warren, her new Green Deal now, folks, $74 trillion over 10 years. I mean, they're irrational, ridiculous. She's a college professor, ideologue. These are people that will devastate our country. Now, we do have checks and balances that will prevent some, but executive branch has certain powers. $74 trillion in 10 years? That's just the new Green Deal. The new Green Deal is an absolute farce. And here's the bottom line with you and I, believers. In the Creator, we worship the Creator. Critical, critical, critical. We are the great conservationists. I'll tell you, my daughter sent me the other day. These guys are in the Arctic, way, way up, okay? This beautiful, white, beluga whale comes up to their boat. These guys from, I don't know where, not America, they've got a football because they're rugby boys. And it is cold outside. The weather is cold outside. And they throw a rugby ball as far as they can, a football for you and I, as far as they can into the water. What's that beluga whale do? Down under the water, swims over, picks it up, pops it up, bounces it in his mouth, brings it back to the boat, and fumbles it in his mouth and hands it back to him and sits there like a dog and waits for another throw. Okay, now, this is in the Arctic, folks. He hasn't been trained. What's with that? Why does he trust humans? We went on a tour in Victoria, BC, and this is God, total God. We're staying at the Empress Hotel up there. Absolutely gorgeous. If you ever want a wonderful, terrific experience, you can go to the Bouchard Gardens and incredible whale watching. Just an amazing, neat little city. We were up there for Independence Day, and it was really a terrific time. It's so quaint and special. And so my wife went out, my wife and I, on a whale watching tour that the Empress sent us on. And when we got there, we walked by this one dock and we saw this mega boat and all these gals and people. They just looked like they were on their game. We went to the boat we were going to go on and I told my wife, I'm like, let's go back and see what that's all about. So we go back. We start talking to them. You got room? Yes, we do. Their boat is this like 65-foot open beast with 4 300 motors on the back. Now, we're in the ocean, and I'm a boat guy. 300 outboard Mercs. I'm like, I like that boat. And so we decide to go. We talk to the gal, and she goes, you are so lucky. This guy, the National Geographic expert, the almighty guru is here. It's his last. He came to do some scientific research. He ran, I think she said, one tour the day before, and he's doing – now, he's not running it himself. He's going with the tour guide because he's not there to do that. He's there to do scientific research. We had the fortune of going out with this guy. Unbelievable. I fell in love with orcas. I believe, folks, orcas are the humans of the sea. They'll communicate pod to pod. Every pod has a different language, but they have a universal language. They'll meet. The pods will meet. They'll talk face to face, literally in the water for days, like us, like humans. Only guess what? Their language is way more in depth. and way more complicated than ours, of course. And then, you know, they don't intermix with other pods, okay, other nations, until they get the grandmother's approval. Why the grandmother? Because she lives 100 years and the males only live 70 years back, you know, and they'll talk, and the grandmothers will talk between the pods, and they'll talk to the teenagers, and then they'll send the teenage orcas out to meet, to court, right, for long periods of time. Before they, you know, move into a conjugal relationships and permanent marriage, essentially, for life. There's situations where a couple of the orcas that were captured for SeaWorld many moons ago, 20 plus years ago, these orcas returned to the exact spot that those there was a mama and a baby orca stolen, if you want to call it that, from a specific spot up in that area every year on that about exact date. Now, it's interesting because you and I got a calendar. They don't. They use the stars, the sun, and the moon. They show up within a day or two, and they spend about a week, and they mourn and they wail the loss of those orcas. So they're not made to die by unnatural causes. They're the kings of the ocean. Their hunting techniques are phenomenal. Rumors, you know, went around forever. Who's tougher, an orca or a great white shark? And down in L.A., there's a traveling pod of orcas that goes around, and a tour saw them coming. And, you know, great whites are nothing to, you know, to snicker at, right? Well, they see this orca coming against this great big, like 25-foot great white or whatever they are, how big they get, I don't know. The orca doesn't go at him and fight him. He grabs him by the fin, flips him over on his back, and now the shark's stuck. Don't let me gross you out. Take the kids out of the room. But they let him sit there 4 or 5 minutes till he dies, basically, or stops doing whatever he's doing. Then an orca slides right over the top of him with his lower jaw, slices him open, takes out his 500-pound liver, and they share it. The rest of the meat, they said, is no good. The guy we were talking to said the meat's no good. Only good meat in a shark is the liver. Now, how the heck did orcas figure that out? They teach their kids to slide up on beaches and pull them down. Now, if you were a human being put in an orca body, what would you be like? You wouldn't be building a house. You'd be feeding yourself. The details of these goes on and on past that. I just was enamored. I would never use the word liberal, but I do love nature, and I do believe in the scriptures where Jesus said, you know, the servant left for a long time and he came back to see how they did with his vineyard, with his, you know, with his property. That's what he's telling us. We are his servants. We are accountable for this property. So what happens? What does the devil do? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, steal, steal. Remember that word. He can't create. God creates a wonderful system. He creates us. He creates the earth. He puts us in charge of it. It's our dominion. And what's the big struggle? Well, the devil has some kind of spiritual dominion, and he wants physical dominion. So he gets the lefties, the socialists, the godless, to claim that they're the true conservationists, but they don't just conserve the property. They have to hate, you know, they hate the creator, bottom line. They worship the creation. We worship the creator. And then they attack those who love the creator. Lastly, with Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, folks, corruption so bad. Nancy Pelosi has made just done terrible things. I could go into a ton more detail. I won't. It's ridiculous. We're seeing the worst. Pray the rest of America sees this stuff and says, this is out of line. We will not tolerate it any longer. Now, we, folks, I believe, you remember, if you've been around listening to Christian radio and studying apologetics and scripture for a long time, you remember, I do, back in the 90s and 2000s, you know, all these different things that were coming, the mark of the beast and the major debt that's going to take our country down, and the one world government, the new world order. And 9/11 was the big precursor catalyst that got this ball rolling, that things were going to go one direction. And you're like, okay, listen, when I'm back young and I'm trying to read the Bible and learn it, and I'm a believer, and I'm like, how can the Antichrist see everything at all times? We know how God can, but how does the Antichrist do it? And then we learn about, we've got 24/7 news, but then we've got 24/7 motion surveillance cameras all over the place, right? We've got cell phones, but we've got something else a lot bigger, folks. We have social media, right? We've got Facebook. So I'm going to bounce through a few quick articles I ran into, and I'll let them speak for themselves. Naturalnews.com, November 15th of 2019. Title, yes, Facebook is watching you through your phone and computer cameras without your permission. Mark Zuckerberg is hilariously blaming a, quote, bug, really? For secretly provisioning his Facebook platform to record users' faces from their smartphones and laptop cameras without their permission every time they browse a social media site. Why would they do that? You know how many times you see a picture on Facebook and it's like, name this person, name this person. They just want you to do it so they don't have to. The day's coming. Not only that, what part of government agencies have extra access that they're denying? They're not going to admit it. It says reports indicate that multiple users were shocked to discover their device cameras were secretly recording them. Now, think of this. In the background, when they were not in use of their phone, or when they were and were not in use of their phone, as they scrolled through their news feeds, set their phone down, worked in their room, even though they'd never given the Facebook app, permission to do this. Many of these individuals took to Twitter to report the disturbing news, which quickly sent a shockwave across the social media sphere, reminding people that personal privacy is now a thing of the past. Is that okay? That's me, of course. At least if you own electronic devices that have access to the internet. According to CNET, which successfully replicated the bug using its own tests, the issue is easily identifiable when a user switches out of full screen mode after looking at a photo or video. The supposed bug in Facebook's mobile layout had to be programmed specifically to do this. It says it shifts the screen slightly to the right upon minimization, and in the open space to the left, it becomes apparent that the user's camera was mysteriously activated. As news about this bug started to circulate, Guy Rosen, Facebook's VP of Integrity, looked to Twitter to announce that his company's now looking into the matter. We got caught. We recently discovered our iOS app incorrectly launched in the landscape, Rosen wrote in his tweet. Yeah, right. In fixing that, you know, it goes on. Okay? Seeing enough? There's enough there. In the last sentence, we'll say Facebook's reputation on privacy is so worrying that many people still believe the social network is secretly recording people through their microphones. Of course, they are, because they can get away with it. Have they ever been punished? Have any of these companies ever been fined? Or do we just scream and yell? Well, why would they care? They're big and they're bad. And I mean, Zuckerberg's worth is what? I don't even know. I can't even count that high. He literally was saying when, and then you get, what's her name? Again, Elizabeth Warren saying, you know, she's going after all these big one percenters and spewing. She's trying to exaggerate what worked for Obama at the time. But you got to remember, at the same time, we had Rand Paul screaming about privacy issues. Now no one cares. Now everybody just wants to impeach Trump, impeach Trump, impeach Trump. Then we go to LouRockwell.com. It says, this once great country of America has gone through many changes, and these changes, while implemented by the design of its true rulers, are not understood by the huddled masses that have been taught to accept mediocrity as the desired normalcy. The ruling class fully understands the only way to control people and to finally control the world is to stifle individual excellence by creating a society that refuses to think. Ooh, do you think they're doing that to you guys? Could they be trying to teach you not to think for yourself? If you don't understand what that means, let me put it in context for you. You heard the saying, schools used to teach kids how to think. Now they teach them what to think. This article is written by Judge Napolitano from Fox News. He's a brilliant man, very brilliant, incredible resume I won't go into. But he's brilliant, and he's a constitutional wizard. Stifle individual excellence by creating a society that refuses to think. Intellectual laziness, self-pride, these are all things the devil wants, desires, and loves, okay? Captivate your mind, the Bible says. Captivate your mind. You are in control of your mind. You are accountable for your mind. Nobody steals your mind. I'm going to break some hearts out there. I hope you don't get offended. They've shown over and over again that IQ does play a role in your tendency to be deceived and manipulated and brainwashed. They used to say, oh, more intelligent people are easier to hypnotize. Actually, that's not true. They've shown that that's not the case at all. But this is a situation. There is an IQ relation. I didn't put it there. Just telling you. If you believe whatever you hear, you might want to go do some brain exercises, okay? It says, this has been accomplished through planned conflict, the instilling of fear, okay? Planned conflict, the instilling of fear, the control of education by the puppet state, by building dependence through public welfare. You hear these words are powerful. The total control of education by the puppet state, by building dependence through public welfare. What? So the more they give out, the more control they get. I've spoken in the past of the authority the feds have even over the states because they started back in the late 60s with the highway interstate program. And they gave massive amounts of money to the state and said, if we're giving you this money, you're going to behave a certain way. They've done it with all these 501c3s, which are government certified nonprofit organizations. They say, here's your 501c3. Oh, by the way, you can't speak about politics. You can't speak about religion. Unless you're a religious organization, you can speak about religion, but you can't speak about politics. You can never have a pastor of a church that's a 501c3 at the pulpit talking about politicians or politics. What? Why? What is politics to you and I? It is an extension of the hand of God. Our founders built this nation on what? Freedom from religion, as the atheistic group calls it, or freedom of religion. Freedom of religion means you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, as long as it doesn't hurt your neighbor. That is kind of the libertarian idea. I always say I'm 90% libertarian. I don't agree with them wholly on the pacifistic approach to warfare. It's foolish. You've got to be the biggest, baddest, strongest, toughest guy around. You build the strongest military on earth, then there's peace. Peace, unfortunately, comes through war and combat. But when you can exercise an iron fist, think about it. Who exercises iron fists? Communism. Why? Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, you know, Mao Zedong. Why? Because it's called the devil. He knows. He's smart. We, as believers, get soft. Well, you know, we really want to be loving. And, you know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, yeah. What about when your neighbor's shooting spears arrows and, you know, Sidewinder missiles and bombs and nukes potentially at you. You want to love your way right into becoming a scattering of atoms that flies into outer space? I don't know. No. There are countless examples in the Old Testament where God eradicates sin with a massive machete, per se. So it says, instilling fear, the total control of education by the puppet state, by building dependence through public welfare, which, wow, and by dominating most all positions of power, in a myriad of state, corporate, and important intellectual appointments. You've got to get the right people in the right places. When I met with John Boehner years back, before he moved on, he said his greatest frustration, we were talking about the Obama scandals. He said there's so many more than we know of. He said the few that were out were just the tip of the iceberg, but that they'd already, the left, the socialists, the communists, had already planted the state at every level, virtually, with their peeps, okay? They have these secret societies. Now, it's going to sound conspiratorial, but it's true. These aren't the words of my mouth. That he has these secret societies, he, they, what, I don't know. But and they get these kids a lot of times out of the projects. They go to their parents. They go, hey, you know, Sarah here, or whatever you want to call her, Kanishra or whatever, is super smart. And we're going to put her through a special private school where she's going to learn, you know, Harvard quality material. Then we're going to put her through law school. What they don't tell the parents is part of the program is they give them a specific series of choices, of specializations when they go to law school. They get the specialization, they come out, and guess what? The socialists in America already have positions in the state, high positions. Now they can promote people below them, and they can plug all the holes. What do you think happened with the FBI? James Comey and Peter Strzok and Elisa Page and all these people. And look at this moron that runs the CIA. The comments from him towards the president? Hang on, I'm going to get this one. You will not believe this if I can get it. You will not even believe this stuff if I can find it. Of course I can't. He says to a crowd, thank God for the deep state. What? We know we've got a deep state. But now he's admitting it, and not only admitting, he's thanking God for it. Of course, I can't find that comment online. But he basically said, you know, burn in hell to Trump. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. The most heinous, disrespectful, disgusting statement you could ever make. Folks, we have got to respect the position of Donald Trump's office, the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world. That's our guy. That's America. We have got to understand, to he who's given much, or to him who much is given, much is required. You are born in the greatest of the greatest of the great. Have you been given much? If you don't think so, you better look around the world and look at third world countries. You've been given a lot. You got responsibilities. This country, in the name of God and Jesus Christ, has provided that for you. Go fight for it. You got a beautiful life? Even just your life. Forget about the government. Just your life. Is it good? Do you fight for it? If someone comes to steal it all from you through words of legal jargon, you ever heard of eminent domain? Someone comes to take your land, what are you going to do? You're going to sit there? Well, government knows best. No, you're not. Everyone fights. And especially the liberals. That's where you get all these loudmouth activists. Why are they always fighting? Because they don't believe in God, and they believe in man. But I'm telling you what, folks, God calls you out. We got to go fight. You may be David destroying Goliath, maybe the Assyrians are coming and God's going to knock 180,000 of them out. Or maybe you're going to go to war as long as a guy holds his hand up and you're going to be victorious. I don't know. But I know that there comes a time and a place. And if it ain't, if it's not worth fighting for this nation, there's nothing worth fighting for, bottom line. I'll be honest with you. So we'll bounce through a couple other quick articles here. This one I was reading goes on about Noam Chomsky, the philosopher and leader, Noam Chomsky, who, you know, was basically wrote on democratic societies. It said he's correct in that it describes the current condition of the general populace, but it is incorrect in that it claims free enterprise is the problem. That's what we're hearing all over the place now. There is no free market in this country, and there has not been a free market for many years. We live in what is best described as a fascist oligarchy, one that relies on the premise of state and corporate partnerships. Without that dynamic in place, the situation would not be nearly as dire as it is today. It's important to the state that I believe, or to state that I believe, the common people are not incapable of intelligent thought, but have given in to the pressure from their self-appointed overseers and accepted a subordinate position in society. They've been programmed to suppress their curiosity, and therefore they've chosen to hide from responsibility. That's you and I, folks. I'm referring to this attitude as the fear of freedom. Freedom, because freedom requires much work. A strong moral base. Okay, you got to have, you know, as James Madison said, you got to have moral virtuosity for this system to work. You've got to have an active intellect. You got to use your brain. You cannot let people think for you. You've got to know how to think, not what to think. Do not let them tell you what to think. Do not watch MSNBC. Do not watch CNN. Fox is annoying. Watch it if you watch TV. You listen to the radio. You know, just feed yourself what you need to know to get the truth. I understand. I want to hear the other side. I used to think that all the time, and I would flip the channel. I'd be like, there's no other side. There's just one great big nonstop lie. That's what it is. The truth is the truth. If you don't see the truth or hear the truth, go find it. Otherwise, fight for it, okay? In any society, so they go on here, they've been programmed to suppress their curiosity, and therefore they've chosen to hide from responsibility. This is our citizens. Referring to this, the attitude, as I said, fear of freedom. Freedom requires much work, the strong moral base, active intellect, and constant defense of self-rule, of the people, by the people, for the people, right? It's difficult to achieve and even more difficult to keep. As Franklin said, the lady said, sir, what kind of government did you give us, or what form? He says, a republic, man, if you can keep it. It is an activist position to fight for your form of government. Now we've had attacks from, you know, Friedrich Engels and good old Karl Marx. And we've had, you know, these other, the Frankfurt School. We've had all these major attempts. We got George Soros living in our country at times. And folks, he is committed to the destruction of America. That's his fantasy. This is a guy who's a multi-billionaire. He's taken down four nations economically. He's cruel and evil as heck. When he was in Nazi Germany, he was a Jew, and he turned on his Jewish friends and families to save his own life. He helped the Germans go around and find Jews and take and seize all their property and haul them off to concentration camps. And he says, that was the best time of my life. And he's not kidding, and I'm not exaggerating, and the guy's a nut. This is what runs the left-wing party, the socialists. They're nasty. I know. I shouldn't be talking like that, right? Says difficult to achieve and even more difficult to keep, so most are willing to take the easy way out. No one thinks, now I'm talking, no one thinks their vote counts. No one thinks their opinion counts. One by one, Rome wasn't built in a day. Brick by brick, folks. If you are doing work energy related to the preservation of America, which may seem like an awfully large cause in your little world, but that cause ultimately benefits every single one of us and preserves our republic, as Franklin said. By doing this, the tyranny of the masses is always the resulting societal structure. When they get us, in other words, taking the low road, the easy road, in any society, what the common people perceive as freedom is in reality a type of controlled servitude, which, while this should be easily recognized by most of us, it's not. And it's mainly due to we're afraid of the truth. You're afraid of the truth. Do you want to really hear the truth? So we pretend that the threat does not exist, and it allows the underclass to avoid conflict, but it's only a temporary thing. So this avoidance is a natural protection measure. This is what the Jews did in Nazi Germany. But in the case of a slave society, this hiding from responsibility by the people will eventually always become deadly. The monopoly of power that's held by the few over the rest of society is all-consuming, and the ultimate control that's sought by these elites is getting super or even closer to complete fruition. It's been effected over long periods of time through incremental measures, and it does not happen overnight, and it has not happened overnight, but over centuries to this country, the great conquering of the devil. And at this point, the final objectives desired are getting within their sights. It's the most dangerous time for man that I can see. As the elite designed for future economic decision-making for all of us is to be placed in the hands of so-called chosen experts with power over the entire world economy. It's not something I take lightly. This is legit. The New World Order that's desired by the ruling class is getting so close to becoming reality. And I'm just telling you, folks, it's not conjecture or wildly fantastic science fiction. It is the plan that is gaining momentum due to a society consumed by blind indifference. And we, again, are out of time. Folks, I didn't even get to CIA stuff or muckraking. It's time, okay? So thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it very much. Do not forget about Coins Plus. Give us a call. Let us get your portfolio built for you. We'll take excellent care of you. What goes up must come down. When do you want to get out? The bottom or the top? Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.